This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and Money Podcast, episode 156. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. And we are here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. They call that FIRE, Amanda. FIRE. I'm Greg, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. We're grateful you've joined us. Check us out at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
How's the weather in Florida?
Well, it's January and I'm wearing, you know, tank tops and flip flops still, so can't really complain too much.
You suck. It was supposed to be mild winter up here. We've had more snow than we've had like 10 years.
Yeah.
Thank you, weather people. You had one job.
And then I put my blanket on because I'm under my air conditioning vent and it gets kind of chilly on the sofa.
You know what I got for Christmas? I got one of those weighted blankets. You have one of them suckers?
Yeah, my husband got me. He got me one last year when I had surgery to try and make me stay in one place.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, sort of.
Calm down, Amanda. Here, have a weighted blanket. How is a 50-pound blanket?
You're only supposed to lift 10 pounds. Here's a 20-pound blanket. Tricky, huh? I have a question for you, Greg. 15-pound.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we're a couple weeks into the new year now. I heard through a little birdie that you have a new goal for this year.
Well, yeah. My midlife crisis.
What are you doing that's new in 2022,
Greg? My midlife crisis came a little later than many other people.
Well, you don't know. Maybe this is your midlife. Maybe you're going to be 100 and what, 20?
I will be. Actually, I do believe I'll be here another 50 years easy. I do believe that. I'm actually taking pilot lessons. I'm not talking about virtual. I know people watch me drive tractor trailers on Facebook playing video games, but I'm actually in my real pilot's license. So I just started and we're a couple of weeks into it and I'm still here. I haven't crashed in classroom yet.
How many flights? Oh, so you haven't gone up in a plane yet?
That's starting this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you may be doing this podcast by yourself.
So if no one hears from us for a while.
I need to, if I crash my plane, I need to know that you're doing this as a memorial to me, that you will keep the podcast going.
Well, unfortunately, you're the one with the tech skills on this, so.
I got you a new microphone for Pete's sake.
I know. Anyway. Doesn't it sound great, people?
So yeah, I'm taking pilot lessons, just visual flight rules right now. Then I'll get my instrument. Then I'm gonna go up through a commercial. So I'm gonna eventually get my commercial pilot license and maybe become an instructor. That's my path. That's today's path.
You know, when I was a kid, my dream was to become an Air Force pilot.
Ooh.
I always wanted to be a pilot. So you're living my dream now.
So right before the podcast, here's some behind the scenes. I told Amanda, I said, "Hey Amanda, I'm buying an airplane." And your reaction was like, "Uh-huh."
I said, "Cool."
We're doing a money podcast. I'm buying an airplane.
Yeah.
They're actually not as expensive as you think.
As Craig says, not as he does.
No, because the plane I could afford would be in the 1960s, 70s range.
Oh, and that sounds safe.
They cost the same as a car, a fully loaded Accord.
Oh, yeah, like a two-seater or something?
No, it's a four-seater, but they're old.
Okay.
But I mean, they're all upgraded over time. They're actually regulated. I mean, they are airworthy and they got to be inspected and...
I can't wait to ride with you.
But the way you do it is you get a group of people together. So you buy a Porsche and you share the cost of it. That's how you protect yourself from anything major happening in your airplane, like an engine overhaul. So I'm currently looking for, I already found one person. I want to get five people together and we go in together on it. They'll bring my cost out of pocket to buy one, probably $5,000, $10,000.
There you go.
But it's cheaper than renting a plane over time. Yeah. So it is the way to do it. I'm trying to figure out the financial part of this. So, cause it is like buying a boat or having a swimming pool in your backyard. You might as well take your wallet. So you gotta be really careful how you finagle this. Cause I do it, but this is part of that baby steps thing, right? where you live like no one else. Right.
Well, maybe that's just it. Like, Craig has earned it because you have no debt. You have your house paid off. Your kids are all through college. There's no student loans for anybody. You have your retirement fully funded and then some. And so, yeah, at this point, you're just trying to find ways to spend your money.
I'm forcing myself to spend money. We talked about this before. I've read these studies. People that have built up their retirement and have the money, they have no obligations. Like, I don't have life insurance because I don't need it. Right. There's no reason to have life insurance when you get to that level. It's like, what are you insuring? You know, this is not an investment. The problem with people when you retire, when you do everything correctly and you have the money, it's like you have to retrain your brain to the complete opposite that you did to get there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You force yourself not to do anything. Now it's like, so the common, very, very common thing is, advisors or people that are managing retirees are like, you know, you can go out and do this. And people are like, yeah, I'm okay. So they end up sitting on this money that they built up the whole time. And people are just afraid of something, what might happen in the future. And they don't want to be put in a bad situation. So you get that so ingrained in your mind, you don't want to spend it. So this is just one little thing I'm doing. Like, this is still cheaper than buying a Corvette, Amanda, or a Tesla. It's still a much cheaper thing. And I enjoy being in the sky. The sky is just so relaxing. It's a feeling that I just love. I'm going to do this. I don't know if I'll finish it. I'm going to start this process and we'll see what happens at the end. If I actually finish it.
You can do it. We're rooting for you, Craig.
Yay. Hey, here's a first question. We got four questions. you want to read this one for me?
Sure, I do. I love reading. I'm also on pain medicine today. Yeah,
this would be a great podcast. She's on pain medicine. It'll be awesome, guys. Trust me.
I, you know what, Craig? I think I don't need quite as much money in my retirement if I keep falling apart at the rate I am.
I listen to Howard Stern, right? And he's been talking about that lately. It's like, oh, remember Bob Saget passed away?
Yes.
Yeah. Down there in Florida. And see,
he was only 65.
I know. So, Amanda, I just turned 59 the other day. I'm like, oh, my God.
I'm like, you better buy a bigger plane.
No, everybody, I mean, all these people are passing away. All these celebrities. I'm like, oh my God, they're around my age. I'm like, how much time do I got
Betty
left?
White wasn't. She, yeah.
Well, Betty
Live
White.
Live like Betty White.
I'm going to outlive Betty White. That's my goal.
There you go. All right. Question one. I have a pretty new 401k. I just upped my contributions to 12%. Does this look like a good diversification? Is my ROR negative because of the short time I've had this 401k? I'm enrolled in a professional management service, FYI. I've looked at these investments and they seem pretty average, not stellar, not terrible either. Just looking for input from folks. Love the podcast. So then, and then they provided a screen print of their allocations.
So because this is a podcast like radio, I'm going to try and describe the screenshot I have here. We're not going to reveal the name. And if you guys want to say the same thing, we can review these as well. So they have a rate of return so far year to date of negative about 2%, 1.5%. Okay.
Which I think if I looked at my rate of return so far year to date and we're only a few weeks into January, it's actually much worse.
Yeah. I'm not doing well at either. But tech took a dump.
What happened?
It's the technology, but you know, it is what it is. I mean,
it'll come back.
Yeah. The worst thing you do is move it. The worst thing to do is move. If you're in the right things, guys.
Don't lock in your losses.
Actually, I meant to post in the group. I said, I know you're looking at your stuff. Don't touch it. I know you're looking at it and you're worried. So let me describe their investments, guys. Number one, she has a new 401k. So there isn't a lot of money in there yet. They are enrolled in a professional management service, which probably put them in these funds. Okay. I just want to point that out before I read these. I'm not saying you should do these because what I'm going to do is don't do these is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, do this.
I'm not advising you because I can't advise you guys, but I'm telling you, don't do this. I wouldn't do it.
We wouldn't do this.
No. Yeah. Is that the right term, lawyer? I wouldn't do this. You do you. Okay, so they have, they don't really have percentage. Oh, yeah, they do have percentages over here. So they're in a total bond market index fund, which is down 4%. By the way, don't do anything bond. If it's got the word bond in it, run. Bonds don't do anything. They never have. They barely keep up with inflation when they do anything. Stay out of bonds. They'd have a S&P 500 index fund. Looks like I don't know, how much money is in that one? That looks like about 50% of that. Then they have a good percentage in the Vanguard fund. And then they put some in a bond fund. I would get all that money into the Fidelity 500 index fund.
Yes. That's what I do in my 401k. Mm-hmm.
They do it. It's just a small percent. What they were attempting to do was go with an allocation recommendation chart that I see on their page that they sent me, where it has, they want you a little bit of this. They also want them in some international funds. If you look at that, Amanda, they want them in 33% of international. Luckily, yeah, they did not do any international, because we don't do international.
I don't love that.
Even Dave Ramsey is backpedaled on that, because he said that for years, 25% international. Even he has backed off, because I've never seen it. Well, I shouldn't say ever. It doesn't do anything compared to the American companies. So I stick with 100% American companies. Anything that does the S&P 500 index or better. There are mutual funds that do better than the S&P 500 index. Those I am in, but they are consistently short, medium, long term beating the S&P 500. And there aren't that many that do that. So the 500.
I think the moral of the story is you can severely simplify and just go with the Fidelity 500 fund 100%.
And you
also the other moral of the story is I love the fact that your contributions are at 12%. I just wonder if that means, and hopefully the answer is yes, but hopefully that means that you have zero debt and that you're at the appropriate baby step to be making those contributions.
I like that.
And Craig, can you summarize when is the right time to be making those contributions in your baby step journey?
When you are completely out of debt except your mortgage, and you have your 3 to 6 month emergency fund of your 3 to 6 months of expenses, not salary, expenses. And then you do your 15% of your income into your investing in retirement.
Yeah. So the order of things, baby step one, $1,000 emergency fund. Baby step two, pay off all of your debt except for your mortgage on your primary residence. Baby step three, the 3 to 6 month emergency fund.
Right.
And then only then do you do the investment for your retirement.
And then you do 15%. And then the way the Ramsey baby steps are, baby step five is you put money into your kids' education, which Amanda and I, we agree, we are not into that. You know, the kids, they can do their own thing. We jump over and get rid of that mortgage, and then we come back and max out all of our retirement investing, and then you live like no one else.
Yeah.
That's the way it's
like done. Craig, buying an airplane.
And you buy an airplane.
Baby step seven.
Hopefully, didn't John Denver die in an airplane?
Well, and Richie Valens did too.
This is sounding worse. Let's move on to question two. My brother was speaking to a financial advisor from his bank regarding his Roth IRA. He told him that we are heading to a recession and that the market is too high and needs a correction. It will go down. My brother said he opened the Roth anyway. Have you heard anyone say that?
I've heard a lot of people say it. I heard a lot of people say it last January, and then
and the January before too. Up. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, eventually it may correct.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to know where does he buy his crystal ball at? Because I'd love to have this.
Yeah. I mean, eventually. So if someone says that, if you wait long enough, it's going to come true. The problem is between now and then, you could be missing out on huge gains. So no one knows when this is going to happen. Everyone knows it may happen at some point. No one knows when. So until that happens, there's no reason not to be in the market. Because also, once it goes down, it will eventually go back up. That's just what happens.
If this financial advisor, who, by the way, is working at a bank, Amanda, not a financial, he's working at a bank. If he was that good, why is he even working at a bank? If he knew exactly what the stock market and everything was going to do, he shouldn't have to work at all. Because he has so much money. But he works a job where he makes money selling products. That's the reality. I'm not saying he's good or bad. But for anyone to say
He probably wants to sell the banks like CDs or something.
Oh, my God. He watches CNBC too much. He's getting caught up in all this nonsense. It's no different than political talk on TV. Who cares if it goes down? You just want to open up an account and get your money in there. Just put your money in. So what? It goes down. I don't care. Now it's on sale. I dump even more in there. Like the girl in question number one. What did she say in the first sentence? She goes, she increased her contributions, even though her account was down. That is the correct thing to do. I did that back when the stock market. Remember when the stock market took a tank in 2009, 10?
Mm-hmm.
Huge. I was nauseous physically sick for 2 weeks. I knew nothing about all this stuff. I mean, I was doing the right thing, but I lost, I can't tell you how much money I lost, Amanda. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'd worked so hard at that. And once I got over my, I licked my little wounds and dried my tears, I greatly increased my amounts because I did that, Amanda. I leapfrogged out of that over the time that I kept growing out of that recession. I leapfrogged. I really go back and say that right there, that one action I did by staying in and increasing what was down was the one thing that really helped me out over anything else. I believe that was my leapfrog moment by staying in and increasing it when everybody else was pulling their money out. If I had someone come up to me and tell me all that nonsense, I would run. I wouldn't have even opened up my Roth account there. I would have went somewhere else. That's what I would.
Yeah.
I would have went to Schwab, where I'm at now. I would have went to Schwab, went online, and had it open in 5 minutes. How about you?
Yeah. No, I think it's very uncomfortable to watch things go down. I'm dealing with that right now. But again, I have all the confidence in the world it's going to go back up, and I'm still better off than I was a year ago.
I'm down too. I'm like, oh, well, Amanda, you know what I do? I don't look at it now. Now I'm spooked. Yeah. And I just don't look at it. I'm like, all right, I'll wait a month and I'll come back. Oh, everything's back. Yeah, well, remember, it's the average over time, right? Stop looking at it every day. Anyway, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rockin' Money.
Stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Hey, welcome back to Rock on the Money. This is Amanda, Loopy Amanda. She's on pain medicine. And I'm Craig at check us out on Facebook.com/Rock on the Money. And our podcast is... Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Oh, no. I didn't mean...
I was just going to remind everybody, the podcast is now available actually on Facebook itself now. If you go to the Facebook.com/Rock on the Money page, you know where the options are for photos, videos, stuff like that for every page or someone's account. The word podcast is right now. Click on podcasts or sitting right there on the
end. And if you want a fun drinking game, take a drink every time Craig says the word podcast.
Podcast. We should do that one time. Put a counter up on the screen. When we start streaming the podcast live, when people watch us record, for some reason, people like to see that. I don't know. It's nothing much to see, but.
Maybe I'll commit to going on camera once a month.
There you go. But that means you got to get up and you want to put on your makeup. And I'm like, oh. Just put a ball cap on.
Usually I'm coming to this right after I get back from working out. So it's not pretty, people.
Hot and sweaty.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe some people like that. I don't know.
What were you going to say that when I rudely interrupted you?
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of getting old, I got this letter that I have to renew my driver's license this year. And normally that's just like you go online and you just pay the fee and they send you your...
Yeah.
No, they said, no, you need to come in for an eye exam.
Wow.
Like, dang. I'm in that category now.
Wow. Have you gotten your AARP mail yet?
No, I think I got some time for that yet. I'm not quite.
I don't know.
I got another decade for that. But
you'd be surprised. They start hitting you up early. They start getting you in early, you know.
Yeah. What? Eye exam. But then while we were looking at that question earlier and that person sent a screen print, I realized I had to get my eyes really close to the screen. I'm like, oh, what my God.
Yeah, but you wear glasses, right? You never got laser surgery, right?
I had LASIK about 11 years ago.
Same with me.
Yeah. So I've been I've been spoiled not having to have glasses. I haven't even had an eye exam in ages, but.
Did your LASIK provider require you to come back for annual exams?
No, they recommended I do get annual exams, but I don't.
See, mine did because it was warranty for life. But if you didn't go back, you have to pay all over again. So I did not go back. I'm like, I don't have to keep going back to get my eye exam. Yeah. Pain in the butt. So now, yeah, whatever. My eyes are still good.
I don't even live there anymore. But they, I mean, I only had a 1-year warranty. If you've got a lifetime warranty, then yes, I would go every year. It's just like my jewelry from Zales. They're like, oh, you have to come in and get it inspected every 6 months in order for the lifetime warranty to be valid. So every 6 months, I'm trotting into the jewelry store. And then, of course, I'm looking at the jewelry case.
Oh, wow. That's why they do it.
Damn.
That's why they do it.
They pull you in every 6 months. But yeah, I never fall for it.
Yeah, they don't know who they're dealing with.
They don't know.
All right, question number three.
My heart is harder stone than the stones they're selling, you know?
There you go. Do people really buy jewelry now?
I don't know.
I heard the new generation does not.
Yeah, there's still lots of stores, so I imagine they do. But
like a lot of people with wedding bands now are not buying rings anymore. I mean,
they're buying just like the silicone ones.
Yeah, whatever that.
They don't want it.
Yeah.
For working out, yeah.
I see a lot of people just wearing those nowadays. Yeah.
Yeah.
Question number three. For retirement goals in 10 years. What's
30 years.
Oh, 30. Oh, I had my cursor. Sorry. Hey,
for you probably needed your glasses.
Yeah. Hey, I went to the LASIK people that Tiger Woods went to. I don't know what that means, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that was their marketing gimmick, too. Hey, question number three. For retirement goals in 30 years, what stocks, mutual funds, or index funds do I put in a Roth IRA? This is easy.
Well, I think we beat this dead horse a lot
earlier
in this episode.
Every episode, I think.
This episode and every other episode, yeah.
Every episode we say which index, everybody. The S&P 500 index fund. That is the basis for all your investing until you can find something else that can beat it. And until you're maxed out on all your accounts, your 401ks, your IRAs, everything, then and only then do you start buying stocks. If you want to do crypto, you do you, whatever,
crypto, yeah.
Everything else. But, and then 80% of your money should stay in the index fund or anything that outperforms it. When I say outperforms it, I'm not saying Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin
is
definitely not outperforming.
You know what? I haven't heard a lot of people say, you know, there was all this excitement about crypto and Bitcoin.
Why?
You haven't heard much of that the last few weeks, have you?
You know why? Because all of them are dumping. They're all dumping. The federal government is now coming out. They want records, the exchanges. They want to know about it. So they're going to tax you just like when you buy and sell stocks. Yeah. So now all of a sudden people realize, oh, I can't hide my money there. Yeah. They're cracking down on that stuff. So a lot of people are, it's not doing.
Speaking of taxing, they're also going to be, they also now require that like Venmo and all these other.
Yes.
Sharing apps send the IRS 1099s for payments over $600 through those apps. But I know people are all up in arms like, oh, I'm not going to use it anymore. But it's only if you're using it for the purchase of services or goods. So if you're using it just like to split the tab with your friend at a restaurant, that's not going on the IRS.
Yeah, they're going after small businesses who use that. They're trying to avoid taxes. So they're avoiding
taxes.
Look, guys, whether you like tax or not, the federal government's got to pay bills, okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, let's be honest, many people look for ways to avoid paying the tax. So
if I go to my hairdresser and she's like, oh, hey, you should Venmo me the money. That's exactly what they're doing.
Or if
you're going to a craft show and they're like, hey, pay me by Venmo. It's because of that.
I'm not defending a president. But guys, look, you got to pay for all this stuff. The military, you got to pay the bills. All this stuff costs money. Roads have to be paid for. Look, they need the money. People, they have not updated the federal government tax collection in years, and things have changed, and people found ways of getting around it, like your hairdresser. So they're just trying to capture, trying to make it fair. Like, I got to pay all my taxes.
So FYI, for any friends or family who are listening and know that my sister is normally my hairdresser, that's not who I'm talking about.
I'm talking about
my backup hairdresser.
Good point.
Anonymous backup hairdresser.
Yes. Yeah. One that we will not talk about. Yeah. All right.
Because
anyway,
my sister lives on the other side of the country and isn't always an option.
Anyway, the answer to question number three is the S&P 500 index fund is your basic go-to, and it gets you 8-12% per year long term. Stick with that, and then anything in it that you can prove that can outperform it by charts. And what we're saying is another mutual funds. We're not talking about Bitcoin. Okay. We're talking about other funds that have a proven track record over decades. That's what you go with. We're not trying to hurt you. We're trying to help you. But you do you. As we say, that should be our t-shirt. We should sell that. You do you.
But I wouldn't.
But I wouldn't. That's our t-shirt. We should make that in the format of, remember Frankie Goes to Hollywood? You don't remember, that's 80s. But they had the big print on the front, like Wham. Mm. Oh, I'm dating myself. Let's move forward. Question number four. Should we put a new roof on our house before we sell it? It is over 26 years old and definitely needs it. We want to list our house and get the most profit during a seller's market. Take it away, Amanda.
Yeah. So as usual, it depends. But I would say generally in a seller's market, you're not in the same type of situation that you would be if it were a buyer's market. So you probably don't have to put the new roof on. You do have to disclose any roof issues that you are aware of. But what I'm seeing in this market now is that nobody cares what's wrong with the house. They just want a house.
Right.
So you might run into things if you accept a bid from someone with like a VA loan or a FHA loan. Those lenders have certain requirements in order to fund the loan. So they actually may come back and require the roof to be replaced before the transaction can go through. So that's something to keep in mind. But I wouldn't replace it unless you're forced to as a result of the transaction.
Is it a good idea?
Not in this market. So let me just disclaim that. Not in this market. If it were flipped around and it was super competitive and there were like a ton of houses on the market and you were trying to make yours look more appealable, then that would be something that you would want to do. As always, work with your real estate expert because they're the ones who are going to know your specific market. What I'm saying is very general, broad brushes about the country as a whole and may not apply to your particular market. If you want that specific information, you really should connect with one of the top five agents in your market, which you can find by, you know, inputting your name and information into the website choicerealtyconnect.com, and you'll get one of those experts giving you a call within a few hours.
I love that. Did you know? Well, two things. Number one, it is a good idea to ask the realtor you're working with what you should do with your house to sell it in that exact location.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're working with a realtor,
not all real estate agents are created equal.
Well, yeah, and so we get the one from choicerealtyconnect.com, and then they would probably be the best one to tell you what you need to do because they're going to walk through the house, right?
Yeah, they're gonna walk and they're going to say like, this, "Hey, when we take pictures, move this ottoman from here to here." You know.
And they're the experts, not your aunt who just got a real estate license. We're talking about a real professional at choicerealtyconnect.com. Mm-hmm. Hey, on a side note, did you know if you move to northwestern Arkansas, they will pay you $10,000 in Bitcoin to give you a mountain bike?
I'm still not sure it's worth it.
they have 10,000 tech jobs openings right now, and they're trying to lure people there. To Northwestern, I hope there's nobody here from Northwestern Arkansas. Northwestern Arkansas, it was in the news the other day. If anybody doesn't know, that's where some major corporations are actually located in Arkansas, one of which is Walmart. And Walmart, I know, is building a huge technology campus so they compete with Amazon, and they need a bunch of tech workers. So now that even the government there is trying to lure people there, giving them $10,000. It's kind of interesting giving it to them in Bitcoin, though. I guess that's because for a younger generation, we'll give them Bitcoin, not Venmo them. We'll Bitcoin them. But I thought that was interesting. They're trying to get people to come there. So that's a market if you want to move.
There you go.
Any interest in moving from Tampa to Arkansas?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Not even with that enticement.
You need a lot more than $10,000 to get me moving to Arkansas. I've been to Bentonville. Bentonville, Arkansas is where Walmart is. I've seen the Walmart headquarters. Thank you so much. Let's see. So the answer would be work with your real estate professional.
And remember, that's how I started the answer of it depends. I mean, there's so many factors that go into it. Your current location, the market that you're in specifically, you know, what's making houses sell and look competitive. If everyone else in your market has a brand new roof right now, even though it is a seller's market, then yeah, you might need a new roof, but only your real estate expert's going to know that.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Amanda. And as a reminder, guys, our podcast is now available on Facebook, believe it or not, of all places, right on our Facebook page.
He just said podcast, people.
I know. Drink. Everybody chug. Go to facebook.com/rockofthemoney and look for the podcast tab. It's right where it says photos, videos on that. Everybody knows that line. It says podcast, right? Click on it and all of our podcasts right there. Listen, right. And you can subscribe on Facebook to get the podcast. That's kind of cool. So, yeah, check it out. All right. Thank you very much, Amanda.
All right.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.